Cascade Hoops Talk, bringing the world NAI basketball one podcast at a time. Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. How's everybody doing? It's a Tuesday morning, afternoon now, actually, while you hear this. Hey, this morning we're going to begin a review of the Mid-South Conference. It's one of the toughest conferences in the country. It's quite the race. Today, we're going to go through the teams, talk about their strengths and weaknesses, who are the key players on each team. Also, we're going to talk to Drew Stutz. He's the head men's basketball coach at Freed Hardman. And then on Thursday, we'll continue our deep dive into the Mid-South, and we'll have Dugan Lynn. He's the head men's basketball coach at Tennessee Southern. So at the end of this week, hopefully we'll all know a lot more about that Mid-South and be able to follow that race a bit more closely. So right now, Georgetown and Freed Hardman are 13-4 in conference. And then one back, Thomas More, one back from that, is Tennessee Southern. Now Pikeville and Shawnee State have 7 losses. It's going to be an uphill climb for them, but they're not out of it. So that's where we're at right now. Why don't we start by just taking a quick look at Georgetown? Now, Georgetown, earlier in the season, well, let's back up. The Mid-South, earlier in the season, it looked like Thomas More was going to be the power of the conference. And then so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Freed Hardman started winning, and got everybody's attention, and they jumped up in the standings. And then Georgetown got hot, and now, boy, they are looking really good. They've won 4 out of their last 5. They're 12-1 overall. And let me tell you about the Georgetown Tigers. They're going to shoot the heck out of the ball. They shoot 48% from the field, but they shut you down. I mean, teams don't shoot 40% against them. They shoot under 32% from 3, and then they're out-rebounding teams by 7 rebounds per game. They've got kind of the whole package going right now, and they are definitely a team to watch. Who are the players to watch on this team? Well, you know, Cam Brooks-Harris, you know that already. 12 points a game, 5 rebounds. He shoots over 51% from the field, 43% from 3. He's a handful. And then Kyran Jones, again, over 50% from the field, 10 points a game, 11 rebounds. So he averages a double-double. And then Tay Dozier, you hear his name a lot. He's shooting 52%, 37% from 3. 10 points a game, 6 rebounds, and then Drew Lamont, 9 points a game, almost 4 rebounds. So they've got some real power, some guys who can really light it up, but man, they pound the boards. Georgetown is just on Saturday, they're coming off a win at Bethel, 96-87. So this coming Saturday, there are no games, by the way, this week in the Mid-South on Thursday. So this coming Saturday, Georgetown will go to Cumberland's, and we'll take just a bit of a deeper dive into the top 4 teams' schedules in just a few moments. As I said, Freed Hardman is also 13-4. Why don't we go ahead and talk to Drew Stutz? He was kind enough to call early this morning, and he's a head men's basketball coach of Freed Hardman Lions. Hey, Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. I got Drew Stutz. He's the head men's basketball coach at Freed Hardman. They're the Lions. Thanks, coach, for being on.
I appreciate the invite. I'm glad to be here.
You know, Coach, before we talk about your team, you know, in your background, you played some JC ball. You played at North Alabama. You've been around different levels of basketball. Can you talk about NAI basketball and Mid-South Conference basketball specifically? It's a grind, isn't it?
It is. We, we really got a deep league, really good league. I mean, from top to bottom, literally every night in the Mid-South, you really have to be your best. I had an opportunity to play a little bit of college ball at North Alabama and a year of junior college as well. And, North Alabama at the time when I was there was Division II. They moved up to Division I now, but, I watch a lot of ball and travel a good bit, even today. And, there's some really good teams in the NAI level. I think they could really compete with some low Division I or Division II teams. And obviously there's some really talented junior college teams. But, basketball is basketball. A lot of people get caught up with levels. But I think fit and, going where you can produce and have an opportunity to play and get a great education, those are important things. But as far as just levels, I really enjoy the NAIA level, and making the move to the Mid-South has been really good for our program. I think we maybe, if we'd went to a different conference, maybe had a little better success as far as wins and losses go. But, you know, we're trying to compete for championships, and I think being in the Mid-South is really a great opportunity to test where your team is at and where your program is at. And again, night in, night out, you're gonna have to play your best to come away with some wins, and you're gonna know where you're at on a national scale as well, based on how you're doing in conference play.
Your teams cause a lot of problems, pick up a lot of steals. Talk a little bit about your basketball philosophy. What kind of team do you want to put on the floor?
Well, that's a good question, and this may be a dumb answer, but we want to put a good team on the floor. You know, I think sometimes, depending on the level that you coach at, you've got to take what you've got and identify, you know, what your strengths, what your weaknesses are, and try to play to those strengths as much as possible. Last couple of years, we've been a really strong offensive team. We've had some guys that have really been good shooters, and so it kind of geared some of our style of play towards playing to those guys' strengths. This year, we're a little more balanced overall, inside out, offensively, but also got some really good defenders, got some young guys that defend at a high level. And so, you know, this year, you know, really just honestly just a balanced team, you know, shoot a good percentage from the field, but also try to be a little disruptive at times defensively and get our hands on the basketball. And so it's been a fun team to coach. We got some youth on the team, but those guys have really stepped up as this season has went on and matured. And it's been an exciting team to coach this year.
Coach, you guys have been a real powerhouse at home this season. What is it about your home court, your fans?
It's probably a combination of quite a few things. I think some of it's probably the fans. Freed Hardeman is a special place, and we do have really good support at our home games. You know, we got a lot of students and local. It's a small community here, so there's not a lot to do sometimes. So if we get a home basketball game, there's quite a few people that show up to support us. But some of it's fans. I think some of it's probably just the comfort of playing in the gym that you practice in each day and having a little easier routine. You know, traveling sometimes at our level can be a little bit of a challenge. And so just being at home and being comfortable is important. But we, you know, we have had a lot of success. We lost our first game of the year at home, and I think since then we've been really good. But, you know, we hope that success continues, and are appreciative of all the fans and all the support we have when we do have home games.
I talked to you a bit about this where we started, but the first thing that pops up when I go through your team is, You play and start a lot of different guys.
Yeah, I try to play a lot of guys intentionally, especially early in the game. I had a mentor that I coached under. His name was Mike Mitchell. He was a really good high school coach in Alabama and Georgia, won, I think, 9 state championships. And that was something I kind of learned from him. He was a guy that, you know, even if it wasn't for a lot of significant minutes, he played a lot of guys. And we had some pretty good success, especially late in the year. I think, you know, playing a lot of guys gives those guys opportunities to develop throughout the year. I mean, obviously, they've got to have the right mentality and mindset, and obviously be good enough to come in the game and help us. But, you know, what we want long term here is to build a great program, not just build a great team. And so, you know, to me, part of that is playing a lot of guys, you know, giving freshmen opportunities, giving sophomores opportunities. If that means playing 10, 11 guys in a game, I'm fine with that, you know, because we want next year for our best players to already be on our rosters. And I think part of that is just getting those guys a little bit of experience throughout the years leading up to maybe a bigger role. And, you know, as a player, I know it's an easy way to stay engaged in practice and in games is, you know, if you're getting an opportunity to step out there, even if it's for a short period of time, and show what you're capable of doing. So we have had a couple injuries this year, just minor things with some ankles or MCLs. And so those things have caused our starting lineup to change. And then also just matchups, you know, I kind of change game to game based on what I think, how we need to start the game, whether it's a little more defensive mindset or offensive mindset. But, you know, this year we've probably played 10, 12 guys at times and had pretty good success doing it.
two guys you've played that started all season, Riley McLaren, Hunter Scurlock. They're both still underclassmen. McLaren, 13 points a game, 3 rebounds, and I think Scurlock's 10 points a game, 6 rebounds. Those guys have been key for you, haven't they?
They have. Both those guys have been here. They both came straight out of high school. Hunter Scurlock, this is actually his 4th year with me. He's still got another year of eligibility, but came from Good Pasture High School in Nashville. Hunter, kind of interesting story about him is he's a guy with just extreme versatility. He started at the 2 for us, and last year he started at the 5 for us. So throughout his career, I think he started at the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5. I hadn't started him at point guard yet, but he's just one of those guys that just knows how to play. He's got great basketball IQ. He's a really versatile defender and just offensively just really good passer, just understands the game at a high level. And then you mentioned Riley McLaren, you know, really good scorer. He was Mr. Basketball in the state of Tennessee a few years ago, averaged, I think, 34, 36 points a game. And you know, he's a fun kid to watch because he's not a great athlete, but is just has a knack for scoring the ball. He's obviously a really good shooter, but is not limited to that. He can really get to the basket, finish with left or right hand, but just crafty player. Kind of got a little bit of an old man game, but has been really good for us.
You know, I think you should follow through on Scurlock at point. He's 6'7", 212. That would provide some matchup problems, wouldn't it?
Well, if you watch us, I mean, he starts the break. He pulls the defensive board. He pushes the break most of the time. So he wouldn't have any trouble playing the point guard. But we got a couple young guys that have been doing a good job. So I think I'm going to keep him at the 4 spot this year.
You know, Coach, let's talk about that Mid-South race. It started out early in the year. Thomas More, they appeared to be the power in the conference. And then all of a sudden you guys started winning and, you know, opening a lot of eyes. You jumped up in the conference. And then Georgetown, they decided that they were going to kind of catch on fire. They've won 4 out of 5. You guys have slipped just a little bit. Just talk about that race. I mean, it's almost like a horse race. One takes the lead, the other. And
yeah, you know, it's not something we spend a whole lot of time talking about within our program, but for the sake of today, you know, there are a lot of really talented teams. I mean, obviously you just mentioned the top 3 teams as far as the standing go, us and Georgetown, Thomas More. Obviously, Coach Ray at Thomas More, them going to the Final Four last year and bringing back quite a few pieces that started last year for them. I mean, they're really good. I mean, he does a great job in preparation, just really well coached, take care of the ball, you know, make it hard to score. Just very fundamentally sound team. They've got a great culture, a lot of respect for them and their program. And then Coach Briggs as well, you know, they've got some young guys that have stepped in and played some big minutes for them. Tay Dozier's a guy that was Mid-South Conference Player of the Week a couple weeks ago. You know, we just played them here recently at home. We beat them at our place, and they beat us at their place in a close mm-hmm. game. But, I mean, I told him before the game, and, I mean, he's been doing it a whole lot longer than I have and knows a whole lot more about the game probably. But, you know, they have all the pieces. I mean, they are deep. They are long. They're athletic. They shoot it well. And, you know, those are the top 3 teams. But I think, you know, if you really keep up with our conference, I mean, there's 8 or 9 teams in our conference that are really, really good teams, not just teams that, you know, could compete in other leagues. I mean, they're teams that I think could really win other leagues. It's a deep conference. I mean, that's all you can say about it.
Yeah, when I went through it, some of the teams even lower down in the standings, they're all tough at home. I mean, their overall record might not be, you know, it well enough to get them up in the standings. But when you look at the home record, boy, you got to be those are dangerous on the road.
Absolutely. And if you really look through it carefully, you know, even near the bottom half of our league, you know, teams like Lindsey Wilson and Campbell's will both, you know, those coaches do a great job. They've got great players. And if you look at their non-conference early in the year, they played a couple teams that are leading, that they played a couple teams and beat some teams that are first or second in other conferences. And that just speaks to the depth of our league. I mean, Lindsey Wilson, we played them at their place, came down to, you know, last two, three possessions of the game. Campbellsville, same way. I mean, both those teams have got, you know, Division I talent on their team. And, you know, it's some of it, I mean, you know how it goes. Some of it's just about catching the right breaks at the right time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately for us, we've played pretty well throughout the year, but still with five games to go, you're a long ways from winning the race. So right now we're just really trying to focus on taking it one game at a time. We've got Bethel coming up this weekend, which is a rivalry game for us. We play them on Saturday. And, you know, if you look ahead at all, you're going to slip up and somebody's going to beat you. You really got to be present in the moment and be great against that team that you're about to play.
What do the Lions have to focus on here as you head down the stretch?
Well, that's a good question. I think some of probably what I just said is probably the most important thing. I think if you start getting caught up with the rankings or, you know, trying to win the Mid-South or some of those things, I think it can really kind of take away from the focus. And, you know, one of the things I've tried to preach to our team through having some of this success this year is, you know, we just want to be the best team that we can be at the end of the year. And the way you do that is just by getting a little better each day. And so I think trying to be present, being where your feet are, being very intentional about getting better today, you know, not worrying about you first in conference, second, what's this team's ranking, that team's ranking. You know, as soon as you start looking at things that are out of your control, you know, it's really a waste of your time. So, you know, and that's hard to do. I mean, I've been there as an 18 to 22 year old, or even as, you know, a coach. I mean, sometimes you want to peek at those things and see what's going on, but I think you really got to recenter and refocus on the things that matters most. And that's just, you know, working each day to the best of your ability and staying focused on the task at hand. We do have one key player that's been out the last couple of weeks, Geraldo Lane, who we hope to get back soon. He had a little MCL sprain. So I think one of the keys is staying healthy and getting healthy this time of year. Yeah. And we've actually taken a couple of days off this week for that purpose of just, you know, mentally and physically kind of hitting reset and getting refreshed before these last five games.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. We wish you luck going down the stretch there in the Mid-South. But thank you for taking the time and being on today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me and all the work that you do.
Okay, thank you. That's Drew Stutz. He's the head men's basketball coach, Freed Hardman. Thank you. I really appreciate Coach Stutz giving us a few minutes. He's got that Freed Hardman program rocking and rolling there. Third in the conference is Thomas More. So Thomas More, as I try to get my paperwork squared away here. Okay, they're 12-5 in conference. They're one game back from Georgetown and Freed Hardman. Thomas More's on a roll. They've won three in a row. But they were on a three-game losing streak before that. But they'll get, as Coach Stutz just said, Coach Ray does a great job there. They'll get it squared away. The key word with Thomas More is they're efficient. They shoot about 49% from the field. They're going to hold you under 45%. They're going to limit your looks at the basket. They're going to take care of the ball. They have less than 10 turnovers a game. They have to be efficient. They only take about 57 shots. That's a little bit low. It's a little bit below average. But they're going to move the ball and they're going to get a good shot. And they just kind of tend to just wear you down and beat you down. They don't foul a lot. They don't turn the ball over. They're efficient. I don't know how else to say that. Let's take a look at their key performers. Obviously, Reed Jolly is just having a monster year. 19 points a game, 6 rebounds. Casey George, 12 points a game, 5 rebounds. He's shooting over 50%. Wyatt Viath, he's at 11 points a game, 4 rebounds. And then Noah Pack, 11 points a game, 6 rebounds. And he's shooting 57% from the field and 48% from 3. So they're very efficient. They're also going to out-rebound you by about 4 rebounds a game. So Thomas More, as I said, they've won 3 in a row. Coming up for Thomas More, they're going to host Wilberforce on Saturday. And they're just coming off. They're coming off a win against Campbellsville. At Campbellsville, 79-51. Next in the conference standings at 11-6 is Tennessee Southern. We'll have them on Thursday, by the way. Tennessee Southern has been on a bit of a roll. They've won 4 out of the last 5, actually 6 out of the last 7, but they fell to Pikeville at home on Saturday. Tennessee Southern, they're not going to win a shooting contest with you. But they're going to hold you down to 43% shooting. They don't turn the ball over much. They share the ball well, almost 15 assists per game. Their key performers are Kavian Hancock, 16 points a game, 3 rebounds. He's shooting over 40% from 3. Brady Brown, 14 points a game, 8 rebounds. He shoots 39% from 3. And then Adrian Hudson, 12 points a game, 4 rebounds. As I said, they're coming off that loss. And then Saturday, they're going to host Cumberland. Pikeville is 10-7 in conference. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They just beat Tennessee Southern on the road. And one thing that Pikeville does very, very well, they're going to not let you shoot the three. You're going to shoot about 30% from the three. They're going to hold that down. They don't have a huge advantage on rebounding or shooting percentage or turnovers. But this season, they've shot almost 100 more threes than their opponent, and they shoot a pretty good clip at 36%. For Pikeville, you got Teddy Parham Jr. He's scoring 18 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And Corbin Spencer, he's been scoring 17 points a game, 2 assists, 5 rebounds. He shoots 40% from 3. So looking ahead for Pikeville, they have to go to Shawnee State this coming Saturday. And then next Thursday, they'll host Lindsey Wilson. And speaking of Shawnee State, they're next in the standings. They're also 10-7. Shawnee State is a team you do not want to play at home. They're 9-1 at home. They take care of business there. They've been kind of up and down lately. They've lost 3 out of their last 5. If you look at Shawnee State, they've really struggled shooting the ball. They're only shooting about 42%. A couple things they do, they'll rebound the ball. They're going to out-rebound you by almost 7. They're getting about 11 offensive rebounds per game, and they'll hold you down to 42% shooting and less than 30% from behind the line. Brandon Beavers, he's been tough for Shawnee State this season, 14 points a game, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, starting all 23 games. Also, Latavius Mitchell, 12 points a game, 9 rebounds, 53% shooting. When you play Shawnee State, you better hit the glass because they've got 85 more offensive rebounds than their opponents, and they're going to out-rebound you by almost 7. Next up for Shawnee State, they'll be at home. They're hosting Pikeville on Saturday, and then they're hosting Campbellsville next Thursday. Next in the standings at 9-8 is Cumberland's, Kentucky Cumberland's. They've won 4 out of the last 5. They're really on a roll. This is another team. This is one of those teams I was talking to Coach Stutz about. They're 9-8. But you go to their place, they're 10-3 at home. So I don't care what their conference record is. It's going to be a tough game. So Cumberland's, they shoot the ball very well. They're not a big, huge rebounding team, but they're going to defend the three, hold you under 30%, and they're absolutely going to force you to beat them inside the arc. Key guys for Cumberland's, Jahi Henson, 17 points, 4 rebounds, as well as Stephen Fitzgerald, also 17 points. 6 rebounds. So coming up for Cumberland's, they have to host Georgetown on Saturday. No small task there. And then on next Thursday, they host Cumberland. So, boy, that's an announcer's nightmare right there. Next, there's a couple teams that are 8-9 in conference. Bethel, who has struggled as late. They've lost 3 in a row. They've been having trouble shooting the 3. They're right around 30%. They turn the ball over 15 times. They can out-rebound you, though. They'll definitely hit the boards on you, so you have to be careful there. For Bethel, Quirion Gadsden, he's been scoring 13 points a game, 5 rebounds, and Tyler Neely, 11 points a game, 4 rebounds. This Saturday, Bethel will host Freed Hardman, as we talked about with Coach, and then on Thursday, they go to Thomas More. They have a couple big tests ahead of them. Also at 8-9 is Cumberland. They're 8-9. They've struggled a bit lately. They've lost 3 out of the last 5, but they're coming off a big win against Shawnee State, that 2.67-65 win. The big bugaboo for Cumberland this season is they're really struggling shooting the 3. Jordan Stevens, he's been tough for Cumberland, 16 points, 4 rebounds. And Tyreek Johnson, 11 points, 4 rebounds. And then TJ Stargell, 10 points, 4 rebounds. So coming up for Cumberland, they'll play at Tennessee Southern on Saturday, and then on next Thursday, they will travel to Cumberland's. Taking a quick look at the rest of the conference, Campbellsville, they're 4-13. Their top performers, Malachi D'Souza, he's having a good season, 11 points a game, 4 rebounds. Jace Wallace, 11 points a game, 6 rebounds. Campbellsville, they're going to host Lindsey Wilson on Saturday, and then they have to travel to Shawnee State next Thursday. Lindsey Wilson, they're also 4-13 in conference. For them, Elijah Jordan, 14 points a game, 4 rebounds, and he's really been the guy to carry Lindsey Wilson up to this point. Lindsey Wilson, they travel to Campbellsville on Saturday, and then they travel to Pikeville next Thursday. And wrapping up the conference, Wilberforce, they've struggled this season. They haven't won a conference game. But Callie Davis, 15 points a game. Bobby McFadden at 11 points a game, 5 rebounds have been their top performers. So let's just take a quick moment, look at these top 4 teams and what they have coming up over the next week and a half. Right now, Georgetown, first place, 13-4. Saturday, they're at Cumberland's. Cumberland's is 9-8, but they're 10-3 in conference. Trap game for Georgetown. Thursday, they have to host Tennessee Southern. Tennessee Southern is 12-5. That's going to be a test for them as well. And then on Saturday the 11th, they host Cumberland. They're 8-9. Freed Hardman, also 13-4. As Coach said, Saturday at Bethel. Bethel is 8-9, 5-4 at home. That's a rivalry game. Throw the records out. Thursday, they go to Wilberforce, a game they definitely should win. And Saturday the 11th, they go to Thomas More. And Thomas More is 8-1 at home. So Freed Hardman will definitely get tested in the next few days. Thomas More, they're 12-5. Saturday, they host Wilberforce. Wilberforce hasn't got a conference win yet. Thursday, they host Bethel. Bethel is 8-9. And Saturday, they host Freed Hardman. So Thomas More has a homestand over the next week and a half. They've got a game to make up, but this is the point in the schedule when they have this homestand, when they have to do it. Tennessee Southern, they're 11-6. Saturday, they host Cumberland, who's, as I said, 8-9. Thursday, they're at Georgetown. Georgetown is 12-1 at home. And then on Saturday, they're at Cumberland's. As we've said a couple times, they're 10-3 at home. So Tennessee Southern is trying to make up 2 games, and their next 3 contests are going to be, they'll get tested, definitely, for sure. Boy, that Mid-South, we're going to take another look at it on Thursday. We're going to have Coach Dugan Lynn on, and he's the head men's basketball coach at Tennessee Southern. So it's Tuesday. Games start ramping up again today. Get to the gym. Go watch your favorite NAIA team. Please support these athletes. They're not playing for glory or money. They just love the game. It's some of the best basketball you'll watch. You won't lose your shirt. You won't even have to trade in your wife's diamonds. I'm telling you, NAI basketball is the best entertainment value in America.